Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Gals of Geekdom podcast. I am your lovely host, Crystal, and I'm joined by my equally amazing and lovely co-hosts, Jazzy and Lizzie.
Hi.
And,
hello.
And Lizzie, you brought on a special guest for this week's episode. Could you potentially introduce us to them?
Yeah, this is my girlfriend, Treble. I love them a lot with every piece of my heart. This is the gayest opening ever. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Treble. I use she, they pronouns. That's what I got.
You know what I noticed? We haven't really introduced, like, I know people already know this, but I was like, maybe we should start, like, saying pronouns at the beginning of, like, our introductions.
Oh, well, she, they for me, so.
She, her.
I am she, her.
So, now if you want to refer to us as mean things on the internet, you can at least know how to properly use pronouns.
No, that's my favorite. I don't know if meme is the right word, but, like, it's my favorite little, like, when you're arguing on the internet and it's like, yo, bro, what are your pronouns? Okay, now I can call you. Now I can insult you correctly.
Wholesome anger argument. I love it.
Speaking of wholesome.
Oh, okay. We got our normal section. We got Jazzy here.
Yeah, and I just finished the movie right before getting here, so I was really cutting it fucking close.
But this is my favorite of the entry into the franchise of the ones that I've seen.
So, yeah.
I get to contribute to this part of the conversation for once.
Yeah, you can actually. And we will talk about this for sure, but Spooky Month is coming up, and you're almost done. I think you'll be done by it before Spooky Mom starts, Jazzy.
Yeah. In fact, because I was cutting it so close, I was considering just skipping till next week. But then I realized, no, wait. Next week's last week in September, so it'd be perfect if I got F9 done at that point. So I just booked it to watch this one.
And I have an idea let's see if our listeners like it as well. I am going to be seeing Scream in theaters on October 11th. And I think we should do an entire Scream-based podcast. What do you think?
Yes.
I've only seen the first two, so this will be an interesting experience to see the others. So
all you have to do is just at least see the first movie, because that's all I'll be seeing.
But okay. Like I said, I've seen the first two, so I'll just refresh my memory on those, because I remember really liking those. And then I tried watching 3, and it felt like I was dying on the inside, so I didn't continue.
4 is better than 3.
I've heard it is.
Yeah.
I'm just content on stopping with 2, honestly.
But in that case, I do think, since we have the resident Scream expert here, that's going to be a Spooky Month episode.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I wouldn't mind talking about Scream not next week, but the week after.
Yeah, no, it's the I'm seeing it on the 11th. So that Friday after would be kind of perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
As for this movie,
let's go back. I was just mentioning, since we're almost done with this amazing series. Jazzy, go ahead.
So yeah, we took a bit of a break, kind of, from the Fast Saga, because there are spin-offs now. Exactly one whole spin-off!
Exactly one whole spin-off.
So I watched Hobbs and Shaw, which is a movie that focused on the two eponymous characters from the Fast franchise, Luke Hobbs and Deckard Shaw, played by Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham, respectively. And it's just kind of their own adventure. It's like there's reference to the fact that these two have history, which is, of course, brought up in the other films. But for the most part, you can go into this movie completely unaware of what a Fast and Furious even is, and you will probably enjoy it. And I will say,
more or less what I did. Like I said, I'd only seen 5, mm-hmm. like 4 years prior.
And
when I went to see Hobbs and Shaw in the theater.
Right. And I'm going to be honest, this is my third favorite in the franchise. I liked it more than 7.
Oh, wow.
Like, I really fucking loved this movie. And it's not because it was deep or, like, this big, like cinematic tour de force. It's because it's so enjoyably dumb. And I loved every second of it. Like, it is one of the dumbest fucking movies I've seen in my life. And I loved it because
it
they knew.
It commits to its stupidity.
They knew they were making something dumb. Like, I'm convinced David Leitch, I think is how you pronounce the director's name. I'm convinced he knows that people love these movies because they're stupid. And so he was like, fuck it. I'm going to take two characters and have them go against Idris Elba with superpowers and call it a movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that movie is particularly fun. And it does still carry over that Fast and Furious sort of style, but it's also very different.
Oh, it does. Like, it felt like a different movie, but it felt like, yeah, as soon as, like, you know, you see all the mentions of family and just all the how unintentionally gay the movie is, because Jesus fucking Christ, these two were banging.
Unfortunately, not on screen.
Banging. No, not on screen. But off screen, these two were fucking.
100%. Oh, 100%.
Like, it is, like, the sexual tension between these two is glorious. And again, I'm convinced David Leitch knew these movies are so unintentionally gay and said, okay, we'll give Hobbs a girlfriend, I guess, but we're just going to kind of force it in there and give all the sexual tension to Hobbs and Shaw.
Listen, it's the supernatural effects where you tried to make the straightest thing on the planet so hard.
Mm-hmm.
That you went too far around and now
Yeah, that's basically Fast and Furious, honestly. That is the entire series. They try so hard to be the most hetero fucking thing ever that they do a complete 180 and they're actually the gayest movies ever. And I think this one is the best example of that, because good God, the sexual tension between Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham was glorious.
Yeah. And I feel they were absolutely playing into it. They knew what they were doing. That was not...
Yeah, no. Everyone on set knew what they were doing. Like, you can tell, even during, like, the one...
And who they were doing.
No, you can tell even in the moments where, like, Hobbs and, like, the one lady they were saving, Shaw's sister, even though they were supposed to be even though Hobbs and Lady Shaw were supposed to be the thing, that was not the Shaw he was fucking.
No.
it's so great, and the action is so fun, and Idris Elba is the best thing in this movie.
Idris Elba is having so much fun in this movie.
He is probably the best villain in this franchise, no lie.
Oh, yeah, and that's by and large because Idris Elba is the most talented actor that has worked on this franchise, which is not necessarily an insult to the other actors in the franchise who are all very good. It's just that Idris Elba is so insanely
talented.
And he brings a sort of gravitas to almost everything he does. Cats obviously excluded.
I'll say that he was the best part of Cats easily.
Sure.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But even Idris Elba couldn't make Cats.
No, it's not a good movie, but he fucking tried. No.
Idris Elba sure did try. Yeah, he sure did try.
It's kind of interesting when I saw different like people pop up in this movie. Like, even though Helen Mirren was in Fate of the Furious, it was nice seeing her again in this movie as well as Shaw's mother. And I kind of liked the arc they had going, where it's like, I wish you and your sister would come visit me together because you guys are arguing and you guys are being assholes and you need to fucking stop that shit. Only take the dialogue I said and make it more British, so.
Just British it up a bit.
Make it more British and proper and Helen Mirren, so. And let me just say, this movie just makes me want a Shaw family solo outing at some point in the future. I want a movie with the Shaw family just kicking ass, including this new Shaw, played by Vanessa Kirby, who is fucking awesome.
They should just call it the Shaw.
Whenever Helen Mirren does action anything, I love it.
Right, it's like you have, like, no, you'd have Jason Statham, Luke Evans, Helen Mirren, and Vanessa Kirby all kicking ass together. Why isn't anyone getting on this? Do I have to write the script myself?
Yes.
Yes.
That's your homework assignment.
I'll see you in a few weeks when you hear me about getting arrested from Universal.
Are you gonna pull a Steven Spielberg and break onto the set?
So I see you figured out my plan. I need to rethink this.
Because that doesn't work anymore. That worked in 1969. It doesn't really work now.
I know. Damn it. But
back in the day when you could get jobs and move on film sets by breaking into the set and making them listen to your idea.
Right.
Or if you're in a Grand Theft Auto game, because that happened.
But I'll say this. The best character in this movie was not Hobbs. It was not Shaw. It was not even the villain. It was Hobbs's mother, who's the most wholesome fucking person ever. And I was happy whenever she was there.
Oh, my God. When you get to meet Hobbs's whole family.
Mm-hmm.
It's my that's my favorite part of the movie, for absolute sure, is the car racing and the and whatnot on the. It was Samoa, right?
Yeah, Samoa.
Yeah. On Samoa. Like, that was the bet. Like, watching these giant fucking Fast and Furious car races on a tropical island.
But and then also everyone prepares to battle, right?
Like, yeah, and they're using fucking swords and clubs. And
they're
it's
using,
fucking...
like, yeah, like, fucking... Pay, what's the... I have so many words and I'm tired.
They're basically using, like, just kind of more traditional weaponry.
Yeah.
Like,
more traditional indigenous weaponry. Like, mm-hmm. bows and arrows and clubs and...
Mm-hmm.
Staff. That's the word I'm looking for. Fuck.
Right. And the movie also had a couple cameos that kind of surprised me. The first of which, Ryan Reynolds was in this movie, which I didn't hear about before seeing it.
Oh. Not like, a lot.
No, he's not in a lot of it. In fact, I'm aware he goes on. He and Kevin Hart, who also have a cameo, they're both uncredited. So.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart makes sense, like considering how Dwayne and him have worked together a lot.
Yeah.
His cameo made perfect sense.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Kevin Hart fan, but I did get a chuckle out of his cameo. Ryan Reynolds, it kind of feels like that they just had him play Deadpool without the fourth wall breaking.
That's a lot of what he does now.
Which
isn't
makes
that,
sense.
Isn't
which,
that, like, Ryan Reynolds' whole style, though? Like, that's kind of just him.
But it makes sense, because David Leitch also directed Deadpool 2, so.
Yeah, so that makes sense. They're all just bringing their friends together.
Pretty much. They're just bringing their friends for, like, these random-ass cameos that are just a lot of fun. And also, apparently, Ryan Reynolds voices the person... The unseen person ordering Idris Elba around, and like, it makes me wonder if they're trying to imply that Ryan Reynolds' character that we see is actually the villain, and if Ryan Reynolds is just going to be the villain in these Hobbs and Shaw movies, because they're doing another one apparently,
this
and I'm fucking excited.
Some MCU level.
Look. If Ryan Reynolds is going to be the villain of this sub-franchise for Fast and Furious, I am all in. And I was already convinced before with the fact that this movie was just fucking awesome, so. So, one other thing I want to point out that I pointed out as kind of funny, and I know people are going to hate me for saying this because I bring up a notoriously terrible movie when I say this, but Cliff Curtis in this movie kind of looks like the live-action version of Iroh from The Last Airbender, which is funny because Cliff Curtis played Ozai in that movie, like the fucking Fire Lord.
Oh, right. He was in that. Was that?
Yeah.
Oh, in the live-action movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to be like, excuse you.
No,
Ozai.
No, I was gonna no. Like, yeah, the live action movie. That's why I said people are gonna hate that I mentioned this, because I know that movie is cursed, so.
Is it?
No, people fucking hate when you bring up The Last Airbender because they're like, oh, that movie doesn't exist. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, did you say something? Like about a movie? What are you talking about?
What live action movie?
There yeah.
isn't a live action Avatar in Bossing Say.
Thank you for acknowledging it for long enough for my joke to be funny, if it was.
Yes. Yes, you are funny.
But yeah, so yeah, this movie, I'm excited for not only the sequel coming out, but also the fact that they're planning to do more of these spinoffs, and I'm actually interested to see them, because it was actually pretty nice to break away from the Fast saga for a bit, to just focus on a smaller story on a couple characters from it.
Right.
And I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm... Next, and I can't believe we're finally at the end of this franchise so far. Anyway, there's of course more movies coming out, but like next week, like I'm, or at least, or this week, because we're recording this on a Sunday, I'll be looking at F9, and that's the latest one. So
do it on time this time, Jazzy.
I will. I'm sorry. It was a I had a rough fucking week last week. I'm sorry. It was not a good week.
At least you ended it by joining us.
No, this is the start of a new week, because it's Sunday. I ended the week last night by going out to dinner with a few voice acting friends of mine, so.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
That's nice, though.
Yeah, and actually meeting a few people who I didn't know and were actually in big shit, and I didn't realize it until after it was done, and I was like, "Wait, that was a
That's amazing."
No, like, one of the people who joined us, so, yeah, I guess moving away from Fast and Furious now, yeah.
So, wait, your overall thoughts on Fast and Furious before we do that?
On Hobbs and Shaw?
On Hobbs and Shaw, I mean, yeah.
I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really stupid, but I really loved it. It's probably my third favorite in the series at this point. I give it an 8 out of 10, honestly, just on entertainment value.
Awesome. I loved it. I really enjoyed it, too. Super fun.
Positivity.
Yes. And sorry, go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt your thing, but I felt
it's fine. So I had dinner last night with there were a few people here from Dallas attending a con, and my friend Ryan, who is local to Austin, Round Rock specifically, he knows a few of them, and like one of the people who visited is my good friend Jacob Wilson, who I should really bring on the podcast at some point. I think he'd have a lot of fun. So they come and get me from my apartment, because I didn't meet them at the con because I'm tight on money at the moment. Being in between paychecks from different jobs is a fucking bitch, and I hate it. But and there's like a lot of people there, like at the dinner, there was me, Ryan, Jacob. There was Kiba Walker, who's a voice actor who's done work for Funimation, and he's also my co-star slash potential director for Camp Buddy Scoutmaster season. He was the one who cast me, actually, so it was nice to meet him proper. And then there was Cole Fletcher, who's another voice actor. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Jacob Eisman, who's an actor known for a few Texas-based projects, mainly us. He was in Smite, apparently, so.
Oh.
And then the biggest one, which I wasn't really starstruck because I didn't know who he was. I had heard his name, but I hadn't watched the stuff he was in. It was Jonas Scott, who is well known for being in Beastars, playing a character named Legacy, I think, is the main character. I've never seen Beastars,
Trevor's seen it.
Yeah, so I met the voice for Legoshi, and like, but I'm not like starstruck at all because I've never fucking seen it. And I'll say, Jonas Scott, nice fucking guy. Paid for our food, even though we said we're splitting it.
You know what? This has the same energy, as like when people are like, yeah, I had dinner with like the lead singer of this band everyone really loves, but I don't really listen to it, so it wasn't that interesting to me.
It was interesting because we were talking about a lot of different topics, like in regards to the industry and so forth, and I found what he had to say interesting, and the guy was super fucking nice. So
this one time I was sitting in the car with my dad, and I was listening to Queen, and out of nowhere, my dad tells me about when he saw them live on the We Will Rock You tour in Montreal.
Uh-huh.
And I just turned to him, and I was like, and you never mentioned this to me ever my entire life?
Well, it's another thing is that I've talked to voice actors who are, like, in these big projects, so, and I guess it's kind of gotten to the point where it stopped processing to me that these are big names to people, so... Like, it's just, they're just people I work with at this point, and friends, and I just think they're cool, so.
Hey, that's a good place to be in, though.
Like, so, I know, like, if I had, like, a lot of Camp Buddy fans following me, which I have some, but apparently that big influx of followers isn't coming until the game I'm in is actually out, but, like, they would, I'm sure, like, if I had posted this and had this big influx of, like, Camp Buddy fans, a lot of them would be like, oh, you got to meet Kiba Walker, and it's like, that's such an honor, and it's so cool, and it's like, you're so lucky, and I'm like, I fucking work with him.
It's so cool that you work with him, Jazzy.
I know. I like the fact that I work with him, but it's like, I don't know. I guess I've just been at this for long enough where, like, any sense of being starstruck is kind of just gone. I say that, but Jacob got me an autograph from Jessie Flower, the actress who played Toph in Avatar The Last Airbender, and I freaked the fuck out. So.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That's cool. Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, a friend of mine, like, gave me a signed picture of Tara Strong, but I met her as well, but, you know, I was, like, pretty excited when I got that. I was like, oh my god, it's Tara.
Yeah, like, I have a wall of, I haven't gotten many autographs just because I haven't had many con opportunities, especially recently, but I have a wall with the Jessie Flower one, which the print is Toph, and I got one from Jason Liebrecht, where he signed a picture of Finney, from a character he played in Black Butler. And then I got one from Lisa Ortiz where the picture was Serenity from Yu-Gi-Oh! So as you can tell, I'm a fucking nerd.
We're all fucking nerds.
I just want something signed by Arlene Sorkin at some point.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Was it
anything? I don't care. It can be a napkin. I don't care. I just want something signed by Arlene Sorkin.
The first time I met Tara, I was getting a Batman thing signed, and she yelled at me in her Harley voice, and I kind of freaked.
I have a couple signed Blu-rays from different actors, and, like, one of them was I got a copy of an anime I watched called Another, signed by Chris Ayers, who was the director of the English dub, and Greg Ayers, his brother, who voiced the main character. And I remember when I approached Chris to get it signed, and this was before he was hospitalized, by the way. This was when he was still up and about. I remember I went up to him, and he was known for voicing Frieza in Dragon Ball Z Kai at the time. and in fake anger, he just went, "What do you want?" in this light Frieza-esque voice. And I'm like, I just went, "Did I disrespect the mighty Lord Frieza?" And he goes, "Yes!
Yes!"
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, nice guy. I hope he's getting better. He fucking deserves it, because he's fucking awesome.
I love when voice actors will just, you know, especially, like, famous ones, will be willing to do their voice for you or talk with you in that way and be super kind about it. Like, when I met Billy West, and he told me to shut up and take my money. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, God. Like, no, my favorite interactions with voice actors that I had when I was still starstruck about the whole thing was, I mentioned Greg Ayers earlier, and the second time I met him at a con, I said, you know, oh, you may not remember me, but you signed my copy of Another and said that it was really good. And he's like, dude, did you watch it? I'm like, yeah. And he was just Another is his favorite project he's ever been in. The dude fucking fanboys about it, and I love it. And I'm just like, I wish I am at the level where I can voice in a series or something, but also be like this huge mega fan of it, because I think that would be just so amazing of an experience.
Well, you're gonna get there. You're working towards that.
I don't think I've met a lot of voice actors at cons, but I've met Doug Bradley at a con once, and he did the Pinhead voice.
Oh, dang.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. Now that would be an experience to remember. That's so cool.
It was super cool. I have a poster, and I'm so sad I don't have it with me. It's in storage because I had to pick and choose what I was taking with me when I came down here from San Francisco. But I have a signed poster. It's Doug Bradley and Ashley Lawrence both signed it.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
It's one of my favorite things in the world that I own. And then, in retrospect, I don't know why I didn't fight harder for it to be one of the things I brought down with me.
Are you going to, like, frame it and stuff when you get a chance?
Yeah, I always wanted to. It was on my wall for a very long time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you gotta frame it and put it up nicely. I would love to see it when it's all, you know, put up like that, because that's amazing.
But it's also funny because It's funny, when I was talking with Kiba yesterday over dinner, he mentioned, like, dude, when Scoutmaster season gets released, just get ready for all the fangirls, because you're not fucking ready. They're going to be annoying. And I mean, I guess I kind of expected it. It's a fucking yaoi with a huge fan base, so I don't. I don't even know how I got in this cast. I just sent them my demo reel, and I guess they didn't think my voice was fucking annoying. So yay.
Yay, works out. Job.
Your voice is not annoying. What do you think brought you onto the show?
No one thinks Jazzy's voice is annoying.
No, I just find it funny, like, because the funny story is that when I auditioned for Camp Buddy, I had no idea it had a fan base. Like, I was like, this was just another day at the office for me, I'll be honest. So when I got cast, and I knew it was a DLC, and I looked up the base game, and I saw that it had, like, this huge rabid fan base, there was kind of a part of my brain that was excited, but a bigger part of my brain that was like, oh god, what did I get into?
Yeah, that community is a fun one, huh?
Oh boy, and like my and
good communities exist on the internet though.
That's true.
Yeah. Like I've already
sometimes had... who's okay. experienced a good one?
A good community?
A good internet community, consistently good.
I have. I met you guys through it.
Consistently good?
Yes.
Oh god, then I can't say the voice acting community, because that's been dealing with some shit the last week, so.
The queer horror community has been amazing.
That's too specific. You can't add a qualifier like queer.
Yeah, you can.
No.
Yeah,
you absolutely can't add qualifiers.
What do you mean? It's entirely different than, it's like, a separate, and I quote, the horror community.
Yeah, it's that's a separate
different.
Realm.
It's different 100%.
It's a subdivision. It's fine.
I got you talking, finally.
I don't know if there's a community on the internet I call consistently good, because I think all, no matter what fandom or whatever you're part of, there's always...
It's not going to be good and bad.
Yeah, like, so I was going to say, it's like, I love the voiceover community, for example, but last week has shown me we get, like, when there's some shit, good God, there is some shit.
Ooh, guys, can I talk about fun music drama?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh my god, are you doing this MGK thing?
I am again. My girlfriend Trebles listened to me talk about this so much that she's annoyed.
Like 85 times this week. It's been 2 days.
Sorry, okay. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm in love with this story. Machine Gun Kelly decided to talk some shit about Slipknot at a festival that Slipknot was headlining.
Because that's a smart thing to do.
Because he's a fucking idiot. Yeah, that's a smart fucking thing to do. And then he tried to make it out like, basically, after he did that, Corey Taylor, who for anyone who doesn't know is the lead singer of Slipknot, and is one of the most respected and well-liked members of the metal community, rock and metal community, music scene, professionally.
Also the co-star in the Pink Floyd.
Okay, we don't know. No. We don't need to bring that up.
I wasn't going to mention that.
We don't need to bring up Corey Taylor's poor decision there. That is not relevant to this.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
Anyway, he wanted Corey Taylor to be... basically, MGK wanted Corey Taylor to do a guest verse on his most recent album, and Corey said no. Huh. And Corey, and what MGK said was, oh, I dropped his verse because it was bad. And then Corey basically released the screenshots of the emails they exchanged back in like January or whatever, showing that he's the one who said no.
He went, actually, I have the receipts. And he did that in front of a whole bunch of people. The way you do.
And then, anyway, last night was MGK's first live performance since that happened. And he was basically at this, what was essentially a metal festival. Like, every other band performing that day was a legit metal band, like Iceman Kills and stuff. So, basically, the whole audience was booing him his entire set.
Oh, jeez.
Because, listen here, and I would love to make clear, I don't think Machine Gun Kelly is a bad artist. I think he's pretty good. I vibe with quite a bit of his music. I think it's fun. I think it's solid. I think it's fun. But like the idea that he thought that he has anywhere near the clout or strength of Corey Taylor specifically or Slipknot as a entity is asinine and hilarious. And it's just so funny. It's so funny to me. It's so funny to me that he thought there was any version of this that played out in his favor.
Well, he is kind of the hot newer thing, though. And I'm not saying that in way of importance, but I can understand the mindset of being, well, I'm at the top, you know?
The thing is, he's not. He's trying, and this is the problem, is he wants so hard to be at the top of this scene.
Oh, of course he does.
And the problem is, the thing about it, is that the rock and metal punk, pop punk scenes are not ones where you get clout for being the mainstream famous one.
He's dived into two musical genres, and he's pissed off veterans of both genres. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes. Oh, absolutely, yes. You're thinking about how it was just like 2 years ago that he did the same dumbass shit with Eminem.
Yeah. And then he got as well.
And I made the point to someone else earlier, which is that, like, at least with Eminem, he's kind of a controversial person, right? Yeah. Like, Eminem, you're gonna have people who just think Eminem's a dick no matter what.
Right.
People do not think this of Corey Taylor. People like Corey Taylor because, especially post Getting Clean, Corey Taylor is almost universally considered to be a really good dude to work with.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I've heard no bad stories about Corey Taylor, except for the fact that he maybe kind of has a temper when he's mad about specific shit, but it's usually shit that he's allowed, that he, like this, where it's like, yeah, you get to be a petty dick about this because someone talks shit about you first. So, like...
In his tweet about it, I actually saw the emails, and I thought they were really respectful.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the other thing that drove me up a wall, is I'm like, you're this upset about, like, this incredibly respectful, like, yeah, it's just not for me, I wish you the best, if you want any other help, I'm happy to provide it, like, bro.
Bruh.
He just didn't like the verse you wrote, so he didn't want to sing it.
Can't believe he's dating Megan Fox.
Oh, MGK? Yeah. He's not good enough for her.
No, he's not.
No.
Have you seen a recent movie?
She had a recent movie?
What was she in recently?
Let me. I saw it, but I can't think of the name right now, so just give me a second. It was actually good.
I think the universal answer is no.
If you can't remember the title, that's not exactly a
No, that's my thing. It's Till Death is the name of the movie.
No, I haven't heard of this one.
Wait, I actually really, really dug it. It's like this weird, crazy thriller that she's in where she's like in a cabin in the middle of it was super cool. I don't want to like spoil the story, but like it's like there's a cool.
Like, it's really, really cool.
Yeah. I don't want to like ruin it. Like I want you to like at least see the trailer or see the movie because it's like this really cool, very intense like thriller with her trying to survive against like these assholes that are coming to like murder her and stuff.
Okay, that's cool. I like that Megan Fox is having a bit of a career revival right now.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's a good movie.
Like, I stand by my opinion that Megan Fox is really not an amazing actress, but she deserves.
She does good in this movie.
She deserves more chances, and she deserves to work with people who actually want to nurture talent from her rather than treat her as a sex object, which is why she was never really able to perform very well in the past, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that no one was interested in her as an actress. They were interested in her as a sex symbol.
That is true. Luckily, this movie does not do that.
Well, yeah, I think that's the whole thing right now, is that she's getting this career revival for a lot of reasons, and in part is because people are being like, okay, we need to give her, like, actual interesting things to do.
Yeah. So, see, it's called Till Death. You guys roasted me for it. But, yes, see it. It's good. I recommend.
Okay.
But do anything else you want to fill in with the MGK drama, Lizzie?
Just funny. And just that to complete my thought I was having before is that like this the rock, metal, and punk scenes that MGK so desperately wishes to be a part of right now, these are not places where you get clout by being the hot new thing.
Right.
These are places where you are respected for making good, you make good music, and you can sit and you build a reputation and you last. You build a loyal fan base that's in the community.
And you treat people well.
And you treat people well. You don't get clout in the metal scene just because you're new and popular. And that's the mistake he's making, is he just doesn't get that. He doesn't get that no one in this, he's not going to get big on.
He's treating the fan base of his new genre like the fan base of his old genre, and that's just not going to fly because they're not into the same things. That's why they're not in the same fan base.
Yes.
Good job.
Thank you, Angel.
And that's some really good points and some great drama about the current musical scene. Currently, musically, I'm listening to a lot of Montero.
Oh, Little Nas's next album?
Yeah, it's a great album from start to finish.
I'm sure. If I need to actually listen to the whole thing, I haven't yet.
Get on it. It's good. It's clear. I love it. that's my contribution to Muzak.
Muzak?
Yeah, music.
Muzak.
Something I like to listen to every once in a while.
Muzak? Go back. Did you call it Muzak, Crystal?
What? No, I didn't. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you did. What? They did. Don't sit there. Do not sit there and bullshit me, Crystal.
Are you sure you heard everything right? Because everything is.
Crystal, are you trying to gaslight Jazzy again?
We talked about this, Crystal. I'm very insecure about gaslighting.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I've never said the word Muzak before.
Mm-hmm. That's very sus. That's very sus, Crystal.
Are you Among Us fan?
Shut the fuck up.
Okay.
I was hoping for something like that.
Wait, are you telling me to shut the fuck up on a podcast? That's not going to work.
I know.
No,
because
Crystal,
I've done it plenty of times.
Sit there quietly. Sit there quietly for the rest of the podcast.
I don't want to.
Silence thine self, Crystal Williams.
So what are the spooky movies we're watching this Halloween, y'all? It's the spooky season.
Okay. I want to do a lot on this show. Because I want to go fucking full out. I want the whole month to be spooky season. You know, October. All of October episodes.
Right. And I know we mentioned the possibility of Scream already.
Yes. I'm going to be seeing Scream in theaters for the first time seeing it in theaters.
Which is funny, because I was actually considering watching Scream at some point during the seasons, as well as Scream 2, so you caught me at a good time, Crystal.
Awesome. Kevin and I are going to see it in the theater, too, when it's out.
Oh, sweet. I think that's the same date.
For the record, she booked those tickets because you mentioned it, just now.
I forgot until you mentioned it just now that was happening.
And then she booked them, sitting right here next to me. I feel the need to express that.
That's awesome.
I forgot. I was aware of this fact, and then I forgot, and then you mentioned it, and I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, that's happening.
Yeah, apparently, I don't think I'm near a theater that's showing it on the 10th, but apparently the Alamo Drafthouse is showing it right on Halloween, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's
cool. I have a $100 gift card to the Alamo Drafthouse that my mom gave me for my 21st birthday, which was March 6th, 2020. Or my 23rd birthday, my 22nd birthday, I'm sorry, wrong birthday. My 22nd birthday, which is March 6th, 2020. So guess how much use that gift card got?
A lot, I would imagine. Obviously. Just a lot.
Because I used to live in San Francisco where there's an Alamo Drafthouse.
Okay.
There isn't one in anywhere near me. I'm in San Diego now.
How's it like living in San Diego? I've been there several times.
Well, where I live, there's a gaggle of Trump supporters who protest down the corner from where I work every Sunday.
Oh, fun.
I forgot about those.
Because you don't work Sundays. You can forget about them.
Oh, that sounds like the best time ever.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
The problem is, what I really want to do is I want us to go and walk in front of them and just make out in the middle of the street in front of them.
Fucking do it.
We need to find a day to do that.
We'll get dressed up. We'll dress for the occasion.
Ah, that'll be awesome.
As gay as humanly possible.
Hell yeah.
I mean, that's our thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think we've established at this point that this podcast is anything but straight, and the only straight thing is, like, a couple guests we've had.
We've had, like, two.
And then we made them, we've made those episodes some of the gayest we've ever had.
Right,
too.
Right. Like, Martin's straight, and we talked about bi visibility during his episode.
Oh, he sent me the sweetest message after that, though.
Aww.
He sent me this absolute sweetest message, which I think my ADHD brain wrote a response and then didn't actually send it. So if you're listening, Martin, I'm sorry about that. I appreciate that message. I'm going to probably go check later.
Yeah. I believe Kai's straight. Yeah, he is.
Tony's straight.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, like, who are my straight for? I was looking through the guest sector and I'm like, but who Tony, are my straight
Tony
friends?
Gets to be a little bit queer because Tony is poly.
That's
which
true.
One?
And
which
his girlfriend, both friends? Of his partners are, like, non-binary.
Okay, then yeah.
So it's pretty damn queer.
So Tony gets queer light points.
I forget, is Kay is
queer adjacent.
I forget, is Kaylin straight? Mars girl?
She's got a husband.
But
that doesn't answer
said
my
something on she said something about it on Twitter, but I missed it. I'm sorry, Kaylin, we love you.
I just missed it. We just don't remember.
Look, I don't keep track of all my straight friends, okay?
Don't know enough of them.
But yes, this oh, speaking of queer.
Oh, it's just that I don't know any.
Speaking of queer, so I've already expressed, and you've seen on Twitter, that I came out earlier this year. Thanks in part to the fucking pandemic. For pushing me over the edge. Also, thanks in part to Miss Abigail Thorne pushing me over the edge, too. But yesterday was my first Pride event I've ever been to. So that was exciting.
Yay!
Thank you.
I'm so happy you had a good time, Crystal.
Thank you. I loved it. I hung out with one of my coolest queer friends. And it was so tidy. Like, it's like the smallest, like, thing I've ever been to. I guess it wasn't one of the huge events, but it was a nice introduction to it.
I promise there will be bigger ones.
Oh, for sure. When things are like more open.
I've been to San Francisco Pride, so I've been to I've been to the big ones.
I see. I'm still kind of online. I'm very much in my queer community in person. I'm kind of disconnected a little bit, even though I have queer people in my life, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was great to go somewhere and just be unapologetic in who I am. So that was lovely.
Oh, speaking of being queer as fuck, I just want to say in case. So I mentioned this on my Twitter, but Kiwi Farms is stalking my ass again.
Again?
Oh yay! Yeah. We love to hear that.
Wait, so if any of you are listening, if any of them is listening, it's like trans pride, motherfuckers, go fuck yourselves.
Sounds good.
Good plan.
Lizzie, what were we gonna say?
We should explain what Kiwi Farms.
I was gonna say what's happening.
Trouble doesn't know.
Yeah, okay, we should have an explanation of what the Kiwi Farms is. You mean one of the worst health sites ever?
So, Kiwi Farms is basically a site that exists to harass people on the internet, basically. They've been especially active on folks who do in the voiceover community, because it mainly started like a couple of years ago when a voice actor by the name of Vic Mignogna got... like, a lot of stuff about him came out about how he sexually harassed folks. And none of this was new stories, by the way. This had been going around for years, so...
Yeah, everybody had known that for a while.
So, Yeah, and they've been on my ass plenty of times, especially because I've spoken, like, in favor of the victims, mainly because I actually do know a couple who experience a similar situation with him. So I was pretty quick to believe and support those who were speaking out against him. But recently, the reason why I've ended up on their radar recently is because there's a lot of stuff regarding another voice actor who happens to be a Vic supporter. So imagine that.
Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck Huber. It's Chuck Huber. And basically, I ended up on their radar because I also spoke, like, I wasn't the only voice actor who said that I wouldn't be participating in, like, so for those who don't know, he's done this contest for years called Now Voice This, where basically you just write and voice act based on different prompts he gives you, and you make it farther and farther until someone wins. It was always kind of a farce, and I stopped doing it last year because, one, I was getting busy, honestly. I was getting paid voice work. I was having a career, so. And two, I had dealt with a lot of transphobic attacks from people who, I'm guessing, weren't happy I was making it very far, because during the seventh one, the penultimate one I did, I made it as far as the semifinals, so.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's great.
So I wasn't the only voice actor to do this, but upon Chuck Huber basically saying, like, basically being anti-vax, like, all this stuff's coming out of him, he's anti-vax, he supports NFTs, which are fucking garbage, and just, he's a conspiracy theorist, he's basically just an all-around asshole. I along with other voice actors, pretty much announced that we weren't participating in this anymore, like, I wasn't going to support him. And I did a post saying, you know, I also did a post saying, you know, his bullshit aside, I'm kind of glad I'm not part of this competition anymore, just because of all the transphobia that went on when I entered. So I wasn't really losing anything, especially with the fact that, yeah, again, I bowed out of the competition early last time because I had a fucking career. So, and no, basically, even though I'm far from the only person giving it, like, speaking out against him, because I've been under Kiwi Farms' radar several times before, I swear to God, from what I'm
You're
aware...
You're also a queer person. They don't like the queers.
Yeah, especially if you're trans, like... and yeah, apparently from my understanding, they're basically posting literally everything I post on the subject or otherwise. Like, there was a post where I did a post, like, I posted a picture of me and Jacob during last night's dinner, and they apparently posted a link to that in the forum, and it's like, the fuck does that have to do with me not liking Chuck Huber? Oh my god, I'm having fun with friends. Clearly I'm conspiring something.
That's literally, here's the thing, there's so many people, and not just on Kiwi Farms, there's, like, a whole culture of that, of, like, I'm just gonna share this picture of you existing when you say a thing I don't like, and that is somehow relevant to anything. It's just creepy. It's very off. It's very unsettling. And especially coming from Kiwi Farms, which has a history of extreme doxing on people. Like,
oh, yeah. I've been doxed a couple times on, like, by Kiwi Farms. Like, they've always gotten the wrong address, so it's always been an unsuccessful doxing, but still.
But still, attempts were made.
Right, and they still got details about me, correct? Like, they've posted my dead name on there because I'm still legally registered for stuff under that name, just because I haven't gone through everything because the pandemic has made it a bitch to go through all that, so. And it's like, you know, they posted that, they posted my voter registration, which that's public record. The address they posted was my parents' house, which, if you want to go and give shit to my house, to my old house, where my stepfather, gun-toting, angry as fuck conservative as he is, if you want to go and mess with him, your funeral, honestly. It's like
sounds like a you problem.
It's like fuck, I wouldn't mess with the dude. But yeah, it's like, it's so weird that they have this, that they're starting to have, and it always comes in bursts where they seem to have this fixation on me. It's always when these bigger issues pops up where, like, my name's always coming up among them, apparently, so.
It's because you're amazing and they can't handle that.
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I'm not annoyed. I'm laughing my ass off at the fact that I live rent-free in these fuckers' heads, so.
I know Caitlin is still going strong on this same round of people.
I'm still impressed by how well she handles everything. Like, she's put up with more bullshit than probably all of us combined.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's a lot.
I'm just honestly surprised that she hasn't completely deleted her Twitter account.
Yeah.
With how bad it gets for her, but, like, you know.
Right.
Well, I'm glad she's still around. I still like seeing her on the Twitters.
Oh, absolutely.
Every tweet of her makes me smile, so. Even the ones when she's calling out some shitty things. And I will generally go in and give hell to whoever do it to. I don't let people push around other people, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I love best about you, Crystal.
Oh, thank you, Lizzie. I just really care. I know we're joking about this, but, like, you know, it does make me sad and emotional that all this stuff happens, you know?
Yeah,
it's just, I don't know, there's no point in, I don't know, for me, there's just no point in getting down over the fact that some people on some forum full of 100% assholes just doesn't like me just because I don't like people that they worship in a very unhealthy way.
And honestly, they would not like you for any reason. Like, your existence is, like, enough to frustrate them.
Exactly. It's like I said, you're a queer person who doesn't hate their existence, and they don't like that.
Right, no, like, I'm pretty open on all fronts on the fact that I'm trans, that I'm in a relationship with another woman, and just all this stuff, because I'm not going to fucking hide it, is the thing. Like, I don't know if I told this story on here, but I was told at one point through my time in different acting schools that I wasn't going to make it because I was trans, and that always pissed me the fuck off, so I sell myself on the fact that I'm trans. I'm like, you need a trans voice actress? I'm right fucking here.
I think I want to tie this into something that happened that I mentioned earlier. I'm going to bring in Lil Nas X because I have this theory that if you're unapologetic and push through with your honesty, people will see that, you know? And your art will not only, you'll get more credit, and your art will be better for it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like Lil Nas X, I'm going to bring him up because I think he is a great example of living honestly is bringing us the best work he's ever done. You know, like genuinely. So for you, living your honest truth as the trans voice actress, that's what you got to do. And things will come to you. People will find you, especially since you're talented. We all know that.
To be blunt, my two favorite characters I've voiced are trans characters. Like, I'm glad I brought that off. I've been able to bring that authenticity to actual characters. So, like,
and that's sorely needed.
Yeah, and, like, I'm very much looking forward to when episodes of Cirque de Monstro come out because I fucking adore the character I voice there. And I mean, also the fact that I get to that this cast is just full of people that I look up to. And I was immediately fangirling to, like, as soon as I saw who was in it. So I don't know. Like, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I think the character's fun and the fact that this is a trans character with struggles related to that is so interesting. It's something I genuinely love to see, and I'm hoping that people like it, and I'm hoping people enjoy the performance. So
I need more gay shit to watch, guys.
More gay shit?
I need more gay shit.
Are you out of gay shit to watch?
I'm not out. I just need more. Because right now, me and Trevor are going strong on this trend of almost every movie I show her has lesbians.
Okay.
All of them. I don't know how she manages it. because 90% of the movies that we discuss in person don't have lesbians, but then every movie we watch together, lesbians.
All lesbians. What's the last lesbian movie we watched?
Was Bound the last one that we watched?
No, I showed you Fear Street after Bound.
Oh, we watched entire Fear Street trilogy.
but yes, I showed them Bound, which was
That's on my to watch list.
Do it, Crystal. You haven't seen Bound yet?
I have not seen Bound yet.
I have.
Best movie ever directed by two trans women.
Do it, cause hear me out, lesbians.
Right.
Jennifer Tilly. Lesbian, so. It's just really good. Jennifer Tilly is a lesbian.
Jennifer Tilly? Yeah, that's all you need to tell me.
Oh my god. Elvira came out.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We didn't talk about this.
Elvira has a wife of 19 years.
Wait, are they married?
Yeah, I actually don't know if they've been together for 19 years or if they've been married for 19 years. But they're married. That's her wife.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's amazing.
Elvira is one of us. She belongs to us, you guys.
She's either a bi or a pan then, right? So she's the right time for bi visibility, right?
I know!
It was like, I think the day before.
It was the day before, and I was crying, and I was so happy.
That is amazing. You know, right timing for her anniversary special on Shudder, and then her book came out too,
why the article that she came out in the book, I think, is
right. Of course, I just want to absorb all that material though.
I need that book.
When I was listening to,
I heard that
before
she narrated
I stopped
the
listening.
Audiobook herself, so I might just listen to it. But
see, I might do that too if it's her talking. Yeah, I want to hear that. I remember I used to listen to, before more things came out, but I used to listen to Nerdist podcast with Chris Hardwick, and
Chris Hardwick was known to be awful.
Unfortunately, because I was kind of a fan.
Yeah,
I met him before.
That was a big one that bummed me out because I liked him a lot too.
Yeah, but I will say that one of the best episodes they ever did was having her on the show.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. That interview he did with her was awesome. She talked about her whole history. Obviously, she didn't talk about being queer, but that wasn't really brought up until now. But still, it was a great episode.
I simply cannot wait. Well, obviously, I need to read or listen to her book. But I can't wait for her to be at cons now again. When cons are truly and fully back up and running and she's able to go.
Yeah.
I think we're good. I'm sure Cassandra Peterson, because, you know, she'll go to cons as Cassandra Peterson and she'll go to cons as Elvira at different rates and different whatever. But, like, I'm sure Cassandra Peterson, both as a person and as a performer, has had plenty a emotional interaction with fans.
You don't be
a character this iconic and beloved without that, but I deeply suspect that they're going to get a lot more personal and a lot more emotional going forward.
Oh, 120%.
And I don't know, I can't wait to listen to her at panels. I can't wait to listen to her talk in more interviews. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's always... I think having just queer people in general to look up to, like, just, I think that really, it really means something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't consider myself, like, any form of celebrity or whatever, but I guess people do follow me, and I guess I have gotten messages from folks who are like, oh, I saw how, like, a post you did or whatever, and it helped me come out, and that shit makes me that shit makes me cry, honestly.
There's going to be so many stories about that in relation to Elvira to Cassandra Peterson. I just know it.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I mean, I cannot imagine. She's just so universally beloved by horror people, and I simply cannot imagine that this is not a coming out story that's going to make so many people feel so safe.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that she finally felt comfortable enough to share it with the world and to share it. Because, like you said, I think it's really going to help people. Like, the more visible stars we have, the better. I mean, I briefly brought up that Abigail Thorne was the reason why I decided to fucking finally come out. So, you know, we need people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you see it. We see other people make the world safer.
Yes.
And like, yeah. Anyway, Elvira belongs to us. The straight men don't get to have her anymore.
No, she's ours.
We win. So, us. We win.
We always win, though. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm just so happy. You know, Jesse, I know how you said that, like, what you do, you know, some people have told you how you being you has helped. I've had people come up to me and I've had several people come up to me and ask me, like, hey, do you know if I'm trans or not? And I'm just like, I don't know, are you? Like,
right, it's like, and yeah, I've had that conversation with fans before, and it's like, you know, that's, I just tell them that's something you gotta figure out yourself, but just know that there are people who support you, and no matter what, always live as your best self, you know? Like,
oh, right, yeah, absolutely. You have to, this world is crazy enough where if you're not living your honest truth, then what point is there to continue, like, really being, you know?
Right,
like,
and I think that's just, and that's kind of just what I want if, like, if this voice actor game is going to the point where I'm getting some form of popularity, it's like, all I just want is just if I can help people, like, under, like, be comfortable with who they are just by being me, then that's honestly the best fucking thing I can do. And anytime, like I said, anytime someone fucking tells me that they were able to come to terms with who they are thanks to me, I fucking cry. Like, that is the surefire way to make me cry, just because that makes me so fucking happy.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it's
So the queers will now own everything. You're going to take over voice acting. Elvira is Cassandra has taken over the horror host realm.
Right. It's, I don't know.
Lizzie, what are you taking over?
Video essays.
Nice. I can't wait for your video essay.
I need to finish. Okay, I guess the goal, I have to try and actually film my first part of my Scream essay before the anniversary, right?
Yes. I've been waiting patiently for you to
do
so. I know!
Everyone's been waiting patiently for me to finish this stupid thing I've been talking about for a year and a fucking half. I'm aware. I'm aware. It's over 40 pages. It's sitting in a Google Doc. I'm lazy.
No, it's okay. I meant to write an article myself. Announcement. I have a new one coming soon. It's about my coming out. But yeah, I understand laziness / wanting to get it right. You know,
I need it. The overwhelming need for it to be perfect makes me not want to do anything with it.
I'll help you.
But
you'll help me. I'll help you.
I'll help you. This is gay. We can't do this on a podcast.
We can be as gay as we want on this podcast. It's my podcast.
Yes, we can.
We can be as gay as feasibly conceivable.
I don't know if everyone's listened to the very first episode, but like a good portion of our conversation was about boobs. So.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's funny you mentioned, like, you know, different, like, queer, like, how the gays are going to take over every facet of every industry, and you're absolutely correct, because I am far from the only queer person in a lot of these productions. In fact, most of the productions I get cast in have mostly LGBT casts, is what I've noticed. Like,
yeah, our community sticks together.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not surprised when it comes to stuff like Camp Buddy, which is yaoi, and it's like, of course you have a cast full of gays working on that.
Well, and there's a nuance to that conversation around in, like, the entertainment industry too, because it's not the thing. The thing about queer people in the entertainment industry, it's not that we were not always the majority. It's that we were always hiding.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't be out about being the majority, but we always were.
That is true. Oh man, I bring this up in the article I write, but fear of repercussions of the way our society treats us does what you said. It traps us, you know. It leaves us in hiding in fear. It hinders everything.
Good shit.
Okay, got suddenly quiet for like a second. I thought sorry. Everything could cut off. It's okay.
I get solemnly quiet. Sorry, we were talking all serious, and then it got unsettling.
No, it's okay. I just was like, did my thing crash?
Okay, no, I'm sure we're all just thinking about like the same sort thing. Of experiences that we've all had.
I think we all share a lot of the same experiences, which I think what makes this show so fucking good. And also my propensity to make jokes that make you all groan.
No, but that's what makes the show go round, Crystal.
Okay, that is the glue that holds the show together.
Indeed.
Me going off and saying some stupid shit. In the best way possible.
Guys, what's another lesbian horror movie I can show my girlfriend tonight?
Answer the question.
Lesbian horror movie.
I am not the horror movie aficionado, so I'm gonna bow out. Like if you want queer,
I'm asking the question that needs to be asked of me.
That like if you want to know about queer cartoons, I can tell you about that. That's my forte. So.
I mean, I know queer cartoons too. So.
God damn! I need to do my 50th rewatch of She-Ra.
I still need to watch Owl House.
Yes.
Chris won't stop telling me to watch Owl House.
I just did an Owl House shit post today. Funny enough, so.
Because Gravity Falls is my favorite TV show, and I talk a lot and point of my therapist keeps telling me to watch Owl House.
It's a cute show. I think you should check it out. It's very sweet. It's very slow. It's Disney Plus. Plus. Okay. It's Disney Plus. Yeah. You can watch it there. I think all the episodes are out on Disney Plus now, actually. So okay. They took a long break between, or felt like a long time between seasons 1 and 2, but now they're in the middle of 2, I think.
If we're talking something about, like that. If we're talking about gay TV shows, hang on. So we just rewatched Good Omens, me and Treble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I saw that show. That was a good show.
Well, because we're going as Crowley and Aziraphale for Halloween. And we were like, we should rewatch the show together.
That's funny because Steph and I are we're dressing up as Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy for Halloween.
Oh,
so.
Nice. The only thing that stopped me from immediately saying we had to do that one is it felt too obvious for our first Halloween. I was like, no, let's.
No, Steph and I don't care because our personalities are basically Harley Quinn and Ivy. She's very like bouncy and chaotic, and I'm just kind of the snarky snarky one.
That's really cute.
But yes, Good Omens with is probably amongst the gayest TV shows I've ever seen in my life. It is queer as fuck.
It always makes me happy.
If we're talking queer cartoons, like the Owl House was mentioned, definitely recommend that. Again, funny it was mentioned considering I did a shit post related to Owl House today. It was, you'll know who the characters are, Crystal, so you'll probably get a kick out of this. Lucia and I did collaborated for a shit post where we do the Darth Plagueis the Wise scene from Revenge of the Sith, and I play Palpatine as Hootie, and she plays Anakin as Luz.
Oh, wow, she's perfect casting right there.
That's why I asked her. It's like, could you entertain my madness for a second?
There's something that needs to be done.
And you, could definitely go give that a listen, because I worked hard on editing that. I, like, had to work with somehow pacing it in the same way it was done in the scene in Revenge of the Sith, while also keeping the fact that Hootie is a very fast and frantic character. So it was a very weird fucking balancing act. But yeah, Owl House is good. Netflix's She-Ra is one of my favorite fucking shows ever, so I would definitely recommend that, especially if you enjoy the gay.
I occasionally enjoy the gay. I've been known to partake in the homosexuality once in a while.
Speaking of like She-Ra and like all the Grayskull universe stuff, apparently there's a couple new He-Man stuff. Is that there's the Masters of the Universe Revelation show that's out, but there's also this new one unrelated to it that's just a straight up He-Man show. And there's a part of me, and I am not interested unless I hear word that they go the She-Ra route and just make it very blatantly gay. Like, just confirm some gay couples for me and I will watch it.
Is this the one Kevin Smith did, or is this different?
That's Masters of the Universe Revelations. There's another one where it's weird because that, like, Masters of the Universe Revelation is the Kevin Smith one, and then there's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which is a CGI cartoon with Yuri Lowenthal voicing He-Man, Ben Diskin as Skeletor.
Weren't the fuckboys mad about Kevin Smith's Masters of the Universe for about something?
Yeah, and I can't say why without spoilers, but let's just say it goes for expectation subversion, which, as we know, fanboys fucking hate, so.
Oh yeah, I know. God forbid that it's something not be spoon-fed to you.
Right. No, it's like, basically, they kind of pull a bait and switch with the main character, I'll just say.
Okay. I just remember, because I didn't watch it, I just remember watching the fuckboys be really mad.
See, watching them be really mad made me want to see it even more.
Yeah, I do want to watch the Masters of the Universe Revelation at some point, just because it got fanboys mad. And the fact that Mark Hamill voices Skeletor, that's just
perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I mean, it's Mark Hamill, right? did you see Kipo and the Wonder?
Yes, Kipo was really fucking good. I love that one.
That's another great gay show.
And it's one of the few I can think of in terms of kid shows that actually very blatantly use the word gay. So yeah,
they say it, which is amazing. I was like, damn, this is awesome. So Kipo, I guess we're gonna count Korra because it's gay.
As has been said before, you have to, because Korra was such a watershed moment in children's animation for this. Right. Like, it didn't go as far as we would have, ideally would have, but it went as far as it could.
Well, I've heard people say things like Korra walked so that She-Ra could run, or some other show that's going on now could run, because yeah, it did pave the way for a lot of these shows. Like She-Ra, even though the big pairing of the show is not confirmed until like the end, there's still a bunch of like queer characters.
But that to me is so normal though.
Yeah.
It was the primary like enemies to lovers.
Yes.
Yeah.
The main protagonist. Like, that's normal for the couple to not actually be confirmed as a couple until the very end of the show.
Right,
that's
right.
Usually how that kind of a romance arc.
Right, and it still works. And even
plus
before
it was
then,
already it was coded that way anyway.
Yeah, like even before the confirmation of that pairing, there's still queer couples like throughout the series and queer characters. Like season 4 introduced a non-binary character, one of my favorites in the show, honestly. Double Trouble. They're fucking fantastic. So
voiced by a non-binary person.
Nicole Stevenson. Noelle Stevenson. They came out as trans or non-binary or some such, right?
Let me look specifically. Let's see what's on their Twitter account.
I know, they had top surgery. I feel like I remember.
Yeah, yes, they did.
Yeah, they're. I believe Noelle Stevenson is non-binary, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
They said something specific, but
it was a very specific label for them, and I feel bad because I can't remember what it was.
I know, I feel bad too, and they didn't put anything in their profile information about it, so.
Right.
I remember they cut their hair and they got top surgery. I remember that.
Yes. Which makes sense.
But yeah, like I said,
she was identify as non-binary and use any personal pronouns.
Gotcha.
There we go. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Ah, I should use Wikipedia and not Twitter.
But yeah, it's yeah, like I said, She-Ra really fucking good. Lot of queer characters. Pretty much, it's funny because Noelle Stevenson had mentioned that they had to like drop a lot of hints of the. I don't think it's a spoiler to say that Adora and Catra are a thing by the end. It's something.
It is. I mean, like at this point, you can't avoid it.
Right. And, like, they had to, basically, from what I can tell, the writing team were dropping hints from it, obviously, since season one, but they were doing so with the risk that it might not actually happen, because Netflix is a bitch, apparently.
Well, Netflix has this terrible practice of greenlighting shows, letting them run for 3 seasons, and unless you're the kind of world-stopping mega hit like Orange is the New Black or Stranger Things, you only get 3 seasons because the only way that Netflix gets new subscribers is with new programming.
Well, the way
so that's that, where it invests its money instead of maintaining the shows that people like and are invested in already.
Well, the way She-Ra got a bit screwed over is that they had season one done and they were doing season two, and I guess Netflix decided So season one was 13 episodes, and they were getting another season ready, and the 13-episode order, and Netflix, in their infinite wisdom, decided to split the 13 episodes that were produced into 2 different seasons. So you have a 7-episode second season that doesn't exactly have what I would call a finale episode. It's a good episode, don't get me wrong, but it's not a season finale by any means. And then a very short 6-episode season 3. With an actual finale.
So, yeah, it was very strange, the order.
Yeah, so... and as a result, I feel like the last season, while really fucking good, does feel like some characters get more resolution than others. It's still good. They did prioritize... I think they prioritized the right characters in that regard. So they worked with the limitations beautifully.
100% agree. I like when shows get to resolve. Did either of you see or anyone here see The Get Down on Netflix?
I have not.
No, I need to.
Okay,
that's been on my list for a long time.
I loved it, but I'm so sad that it got canceled. Cause like there's so much more they could have done with it. Like they were exploring some really interesting themes. Like it was all about. Jazzy, I don't know if you know what it's about, but it's like all about the music scene in the late 70s in New York. Mm-hmm. So like the beginning of hip hop and kind of like the disco era as well. So I mean, if you like that style and like hearing about, it was like mostly POC cast.
Right.
Like I think there's like only like 2 main white characters. Something like that. And I loved it. And there's also queer characters in it, too, which is awesome, which they explore as well. But then they fucking ganked it, and I was really mad.
Also, I am annoyed.
Annoyed?
Stranger Things Season 4 doesn't have an official release date. That's pissing me off.
They keep pushing it off, huh?
I don't understand why. The whole thing is filmed.
That's really weird.
It is really just, weird.
Are they trying to put it in a certain time of the year?
I don't know. It's supposed to come out in 2022, but it doesn't say anything more specific than that, which is annoying because that's going to be like 3 years divorced from the last season.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow, that's a long time. I didn't think it was that long. Jesus.
Yeah, because season 3 came out summer 2019.
Damn, you're making me feel old.
And I remember that very distinctly because they wanted it to be because it came out 4th of July weekend because that whole season was built around the 4th of July.
Yes.
This is a very stuttery sentence I just said, but...
No, you got your point across.
Speaking of bad advertising, you know what's also frustrating me quite a bit? If we can back cycle to Scream a little bit.
Let's go back.
That Scream 5, it comes out in January.
Does it come out in January?
It comes out in January, and there has been, like, zero official advertising.
That is...
Which I find very strange and very sus. It's concerning to me.
Not even a teaser
or an official poster. There's so many great fan-made posters, but...
I also just find it dumb that it's just called Scream and it's a sequel and it's...
That doesn't bother me because that is very... Because Scream commentates on the current state of things, and that's just... That decision to me is very clearly supposed to be a reflection of, like, Halloween and Candyman and...
I don't care. Yeah. It's dumb and I will hate it and I hate it forever. I didn't like it when Candyman did it. I didn't like it when Halloween did it. If it's a sequel, give it a fucking different name. Please. Please. What? Like, you had a perfect string of numbers. You had a perfect string of numbers.
Well, Scream, that was one of my favorite thing about Scream. I'll give that, yeah.
Scream
2, Scream 3, Scream 4,
now it's just
Scream. Wasn't Scream 4
Scrum? Scrum? I don't fucking care! It had a 4 in it!
The 4 was... They made the 4 out of the A.
Yeah.
It had a 4! The 4 was there! It is in the title! Therefore, it is Scream 4! Scream!
Listen, I've always appreciated that Scream didn't have subtitles.
Right?
I always appreciated that Scream was Scream, Scream 2, Scream 3, and Scream 4. I'm with you on that. I always appreciated that vibe for it.
Wes Craven is spinning in his fucking grave at this
point. Oh, yeah, that's the...
Speculation about the movie. Stab in the movie going to just be Stab?
Yes, obviously.
Probably. And even though it'll probably just be as a joke, I'm probably going to scream about it here. Scream, get it! It's the name of the movie!
You're hilarious, Jazzy.
I'm a clever bitch!
Listen. Do you know what else I'm prepared to have zero patience for? When what? Scream comes out, though, if it gets even the tiniest bit of clout?
Oh, boy.
All of the... Is the quartering and that ilk...
Oh, God!
Wes Craven. If a single one of those motherfuckers breathes Wes Craven's name, I'm going to personally...
Well, you know they will. They're going to because they have no fucking respect. They have no respect for the dead. Like, I've seen, like, channels like that. Like, this is... To bring a fan base I'm a part of, like, I've seen channels like that bring up Monty Ohm's name when bitching about, Ruby, like, nowadays, and saying, oh, Monty Ohm didn't die for this, as if, like, his death was a sacrifice and not something fucking horrible that happened.
No, Treble, give your opinion.
I don't have an opinion to share, I just have opinions.
What's your opinion?
Specifically about, like, Monty Ohm and the Ruby fan base being ridiculous.
Right.
Sorry, carry on.
Like, it's just so... Yeah, that shit's infuriating to me when someone brings up a dead person's name to, like, say...
Because people like quartering do not give a shit. They look at any article, any headline, and then they look to make any sort of commentary on it using the same keywords to make money off of it, off of their base they're grifting off of.
Well,
that's it.
You saw the headline, the title for his video on Candyman.
What was
and
it?
That was the moment I knew. That was the moment I knew. You're gonna put Wes Craven's name in your mouth, and I'm gonna have to kill you for it. Because you are, I will not have it.
You know what?
I will not have you pretending that Wes Craven was anything other than one of the kindest and gentlest souls that has ever graced this planet. Yes, he also directed The Hills Have Eyes and The Firework Woman. That doesn't matter. Wes Craven would have hated you, and you don't get to say shit about him, and you don't get to project your shitty alt-right opinions onto his work. His objectively progressive, ACAB, and wildly feminist and ahead of its time work. You don't get to do that. I don't want to hear it from these people about Wes Craven. I do not.
Lizzie, you're going to show up at some houses pretty soon.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I am.
You're going to recreate the scene from the ending of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
I thought you were about to say she's going to recreate the opening scene of Scream just with the quartering, so.
What's your favorite scary movie? What's your favorite scary movie?
Get commission Roger Jackson to fucking help you with that for the voice. I think that's always the funniest thing about Scream for me is that Ghostface voice is provided by Roger Jackson, and I grew up with him as Mojo Jojo in the Powerpuff Girls. So.
No, I love Roger Jackson. It's so hard for me to say because Tony Todd's voice exists.
Right.
No, Ron, his voice works perfectly for those movies.
Oh, yeah. Like,
they're fitting where they go.
Todd are the two, the horror voices that own my whole heart.
Not horror specifically, but I am also thinking about how Keith David's voice is just kind of perfect, too. Just putting it out there into the ether, that's all.
I mean, Keith David has a wonderful fucking voice, let's be real. Also.
Absolutely.
Like when I was playing through Mass Effect for the first time and I started the story and his voice was like one of the first things I heard, I was like, this is gonna be a good fucking game.
Speaking of horror voices though, that same con where I met Doug Bradley, John Kaser, who played the Crypt Keeper.
Oh yeah.
And he did because he was there. He did the announcements throughout the day, like, in the Crypt Keeper voice over the PA.
Mm.
And it was...
amazing.
It was something special. It was something special that just made the taste so great.
Well, that is amazing. I do think it's probably about time for us to wrap up this episode. The Gals of Geekdom podcast. As much as I'd love to stay here and geek more over voices and horror for like 5 more hours, we're going to have plenty of episodes to do that with.
In spooky season!
In the spooky season, yes. Alright, so I guess it's time for everybody to plug their plug in things. Do the plug things.
Plug in our plugs?
Yes. Plugging.
Are we done with this joke?
Is no.
Okay. All right. I don't like the face you're making at me. I'm glad no one else can see it.
I guess I will never be done with joke.
I guess I'll just end it and start. Okay, and so start.
Dazzy, you should start.
Dazzy, yeah. Start
Dazzy, go. Start plugging your plug.
Oh God.
God damn it. You can find me on Twitter over at Lady Jazzington, as well as on Twitch under the same name. I'm doing a thing where if I reach 2,000 followers on Twitter before my birthday on November 22nd, I will do Twitch streams of every single goddamn Kingdom Hearts game from then to however long it fucking takes me to do it. And there will be story analysis. God help me.
Definitely go do that. Lizzie?
You can find me everywhere I want you to find me at Lizzie Lemon Drop, mainly Twitter and TikTok. TikTok is a lot of screaming at people, a lot of shit posting, but you know, I have fun. And sometimes I actually talk about movies, which is like, you know, in theory, the thing I'm supposed to be doing with my social media. You're going to get a little bit more of that on Twitter wherein I'm also being a nerd about bands, obviously. They're coming back on tour. Albums are coming out. So I'm going to be real annoying about that lately. And as always, you can always go to the link in my bio on Twitter and you can look at things that I write when I actually bother to do that. So.
Awesome. Does Treble want to plug anything?
I don't have any plugs, but if you want to find me, I'm on Lizzie's TikTok.
Okay.
That's it. That's what I got.
Sounds perfect. And I am your, I guess I am the captain of this silly ship. My name is Crystal Williams. You can follow my Medium, where I write social issue stuff and trans stuff, and I'm having an article coming out very soon about my transness and my coming out, so be on the lookout for that. You can also follow me on Twitter at Crystal W Rocks. Please check out my tweets, watch me interact with people who are really pissed at me existing as a trans person online, and some random thoughts and jokes, and lesbian shit if you're into that. I mean, that's like a good 45 to 50% of my content on there, so. Yeah, I should, those are rookie numbers, so I need to pump those numbers up.
Yeah.
It needs to be like 95%. But anyway, this has been another wonderful episode of the Gals the Geek to podcast. We love you all, and we will see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.